Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Joe Biden, how's it going? How's it going, Joe? No joke. Not so good. Not if you look at his numbers. Not if you see what's actually happening in the eyes of the American people. The latest right now is that you've got Biden with a 37%, according to USA Today poll, approval rating, 59% disapproval. The good news for Biden is that people are even more disapproving of Kamala Harris. So not that anyone really cares, but if you think she's going to take over for him at some point, it does matter. Harris has a 27% approval rating, 51% disapproving. And this comes right when we've seen the infrastructure bill pass, going to Biden's desk. Clay, it seems to me like they've been hoping after the Tuesday election shellacking that they took, oh, we're going to start spending a bunch of money and people are going to realize things are much better than they think they are. So far, that at least has not sunk in yet. And I think the Biden administration is running out of rabbits to pull out of the hat, so to speak. I think they're running out of room to maneuver.
At some point, Buck, you get defined and you are what people decide that you are. And that can be both good or bad. And Biden, it is very, very bad. 37-38% approval rating in the most recent USA Today poll. Kamala Harris, 28%. Putting those numbers into context, Buck, in no point in either of our lives have a president and a vice president been this lowly regarded by the American public. I mean, you and I are around. You're about to have the 40th birthday, two generations between us.
Mm-hmm.
Never in either of our lives has there ever been a point where a president and a vice president were this far underwater. And I just saw, as you started the show, CNN came out with their own poll, and it said, does Biden have the right priorities? 42% said yes, 58% said no. When a CNN poll is nearly 60%, Biden has the wrong priorities, and the way that they are collapsing, 36%, Buck, of independents said that Joe Biden has the right priorities. Only 75% of Democrats said Joe Biden has the right priorities. This is an unmitigated disaster for the Democratic Party. And the question, we said what was going to be the fallout? Well, we'll talk about infrastructure, I'm sure, during the course of today's show and the decisions that were made there. But the biggest fallout in terms of the midterm so far is the number of Democrats. I think we're up to 12 now, who hold House of Representatives seats and are not rerunning. Most of those very competitive marketplaces. And if you look at the overall trend lines for who, which party is favored, we're talking about 40 or 50 seats potentially that the Democrats are going to lose in 2022, which means the Republicans would have a decent majority.
I believe it was Yogi Berra who said deja vu all over again. And that's with 2010. That's a way of looking at this with the 2010 midterm election that Obama faced. Those numbers, the Tea Party wave, which changed the Republican Party, changed conservatism for a generation, really. You look at how many people came into politics at that point in time and what an upsurge there was from the grassroots level. I think you're facing something similar. And you can tell the White House is a little bit flustered. Here's Joe Biden on the migrant payment issue, which last week, remember, we're all saying this is a total outrage. I mean,
yes.
$450,000 a person
for people
for families,
who missed that story. Yeah.
For people who are separated under the Trump administration. Of course, they always have to say under the Trump administration because Trump was so, you know, heartless and all this other stuff. $1 million per family. Biden said that was malarkey. He didn't use that word. Sometimes he says that, but he didn't use that word. But he said this is, you know, basically crap. And now it turns out, no, it's not. So instead of Biden having the humility to realize or the humility to say to everybody, okay, I didn't know what was going on in my own administration, he just starts yelling, angry old man, get off my lawn style at a reporter. Here he is.
Where do you stand? You said last week that this report about migrant families at the border getting payments was garbage.
No, I didn't say that. Let's get it straight. You said everybody coming across the border gets $450,000.
The number was what you had a problem with.
The number I was referring to.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing.
Sure.
If, in fact, because of the outrageous behavior of the last administration, you coming across the border, whether it was legal or illegal, and you lost your child, it's gone, You deserve some kind of compensation, no matter what the circumstance. What that will be, I have no idea. I have no idea.
Okay, I disagree. And also, it matters a lot how much money it is, Clay. It matters a lot to people that can't pay their bills.
How many kids are lost, Buck? I mean, is this a common thing where they have no idea where the kids are? It just doesn't seem like that's very common
to
me.
It seems
like that would be a fairly substantial story.
What's ended up happening, I've spoken to people I know in border Customs and Border Patrol and Immigrations and Customs Enforcement about this. And what's ended up happening was that there were kids who were separated, but usually they were put with other family members.
Right.
And then the parent was either let into the U.S. or in some cases, if they were deported, but they've been placed with a family member or they've been placed with a safe home. So every circumstance is unique about this, or, you know, every individual case. But let's remember that the basic premise of this was we did not have facilities. For anybody who wants to know what happened, all the facilities at the southern border are built for single adult males, essentially.
Because most people historically crossing into the country have been doing so to work, and the general consensus has been they send money back to the countries that they're from, and they may go back and forth as the seasons change. That's the general consensus on who comes across the border historically.
Correct. And yes. So they built all these facilities for that. And then what happened, I've seen these facilities. They are not nice, by the way. They are not pleasant places to be, but, you know, you're supposed to be held in them for a couple of days and then be deported is actually the way their system is supposed to be. They're not supposed to spend a long time there. But because of the Flores decree, which comes from a judge, it says you can only hold children for 20 days. Families came in. They realized they could intentionally overwhelm the system at the border. And then we would not have the processing and holding capabilities. So then they would just be let into the country. So there was an intentional overwhelming of the system. That was the whole point of it. And then sometimes because you had people who had to be detained and processed, we didn't have the ability to hold children with them at the time. They've since built different facilities, and now they have a different process in place. So there were some families that were separate at the border. The Trump administration did change that, Clay, because they did have there was a humanitarian concern and outcry. Says, all right, we'll figure this out. But initially, it was just like if you had been arrested for drunk driving and there was no relative to take a child who was in the back seat into custody, the state would take custody of that child while you were processed and held in jail and go through that whole system. Because they're breaking the law. This is the part of this. Democrats don't view this as in any way actually illegal and problematic. So they skip that part to it. And it turns into we owe these migrants not just money. We owe them the right to stay here forever. That's what they really think. And that's where the American people are saying, hold on. So they're going to get to stay because, by the way, Clay, they are.
Yes.
And they're going to get a huge check. I mean, more than, as you pointed out, it's more than the average American household is going to make in almost a decade.
Yes.
Probably tax-free because it's federal government paying the fee. And Biden acts like this is no big deal.
And you're further incentivizing the decision that was made in the first place, which is think about how in a literal game in many ways of telephone, this is going to work its way back to Central American and Latin American countries. It's going to be not only is the United States the land of milk and honey, but they're giving people hundreds of thousands of dollars when they come across the border. Do you think people are going to understand the nuance that Joe Biden is trying to make here? And again, the larger point, too, is how many families are entitled to this? Okay, Joe Biden says it's not going to be $450,000. Let's say it's going to be $350,000. How many American taxpayers' dollars, hundreds of millions? What's the total cost here? How many people are going to be paid out under this procedure? And again, Buck, the bigger picture question I think that is a really good one to put in context is this is more than we often are paying families in America whose sons or daughters are being killed while serving in our armed forces.
There's about 1,000, by the way. That's the 300 parents of separated children have still not been located. I wanted to check because you asked for the number. And about 1,000 families in total had some form of separation. So just so everyone understands, there are hundreds and hundreds of thousands that have crossed illegally families into the country.
Yes.
So this was not, they make it sound like the Trump administration policy was to intentionally pull everyone apart and not, no, they were trying to reunite everybody. But also when people come into the country illegally and they don't want to be processed through the system, they don't want to show up at their court hearings, they don't speak English, they don't have a legal right to be in the country in the first place, they're less likely to work through the system to find out what's actually going on with a separated child. And remember, sometimes it was with parents, sometimes with aunts and uncles. They're trying to get together with family members that are already in the country. The whole thing was a mess, but the the entire plan was to overwhelm the system. And so the way Biden and the Democrats are setting this up, you're rewarding people for the intentional act of we are overwhelming the system. You know,
yes.
if you intentionally, you know, fill a restaurant with five times as many people as are legally allowed to be inside under the fire code. And then, you know, you have to evacuate for some reason and some people get hurt leaving it. The people intentionally overwhelming the facility are making a very bad decision and should not do that, right?
If they shouldn't be rewarded.
Should not be rewarded for it. And
yes.
So this is the look, yeah, you should reunite everybody. They're trying to do that, no question. But to pay them $450,000 is a slap in the face to a lot of people in this country who are saying, hold on a second. I mean, Clay, there was an article over the weekend in the San Francisco Chronicle, you see this? Where there are people wondering aloud, maybe we should just tolerate burglary. Maybe
yes,
we should just accept property crime. People are going to come into your house. They're going to steal your stuff. It's not that big a deal. Let them take your e-bike and your iPad and your whatever. You can buy more. This is redistributive justice. This is what the left, the lunacy of the left has taken it to now, where you have prosecutors and other people saying, oh, I don't know if really we're going to actually even enforce those laws. Meanwhile, the laws for, you know, illegal immigrants now, it's not even just they're going to let them into the country, but some of them are going to get huge checks, more than people make in a decade.
This is just an expansion of what's going on in the Bay Area in general, where they no longer enforce shoplifting. And now they're essentially saying if people want to walk into your home and steal, they can do that. But oh, by the way, simultaneously, while they're saying you should just get used to burglary, they're also saying you need to have your five-year-old's vaccine passport in order to go into McDonald's and get a quarter pounder for your kid or chicken nuggets.
It's madness. We are up against a lot of madness in this country.
Yes.
That's the short version.
People, that is very accurate.
A large portion of the country that happen to be Democrats and vote for Biden have completely lost their minds. So that'll be a theme that we continue to come back to today. We got more on this. Plus, the Aaron Rodgers, Howard Stern thing. Clay's going to tee off on that one a little bit. There's a way for you to easily save $50 or $60 a month on your cell phone bill. Switch to Pure Talk Cellular from your current cell phone carrier. Pure Talk is on the exact same 5G network using the exact same towers as one of the big three carriers. And Pure Talk has this offer. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network, just $30 a month. For families using Pure Talk, the average family is saving over $800 a year. And switching is so easy. You can keep your number and your phone. Pure Talk sends you a new SIM card and you swap it out. This month, get Pure Talk's Black Friday prices on new phones like the iPhone 12 Clay, just $479.
Yeah, and not only that, great deal there. Pure Talk's a top-rated wireless company as measured by Consumer Affairs. Customer service based here in the U.S. My own 13-year-old, he's in 8th grade, he has a Pure Talk phone, absolutely loves it. They have a 30-day risk-free guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. From your cell phone, how do you sign up and save up to $800 a year? Dial #250 and say Pure Talk, and you'll save 50% off your first month, and you'll be able to save on a new phone as well. That's #250, say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for detail. Welcome back in. Appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Finishing off the first hour, Monday edition of the program. Five-year-old vaccines, that's where everything is headed. And CNN, as the official government propaganda arm, I can't believe this is real, but some of you may have seen these clips. They interviewed on CNN Big Bird, and I think it was Big Bird's mom, about needing to get the vaccine and how excited. This is Dr. Sanjay Gupta talking with Big Bird. I think this is during a town hall this weekend on CNN. Sesame Street characters are explaining the fact that they are getting the COVID vaccine. Listen.
Have you decided if Big Bird's going to be getting the vaccine?
Yes, I did. I asked my questions and I got my answers, and I've scheduled an appointment for my grandson. We're leaving in a few minutes. Okay. Now, I just need to get one last thing before we go to your appointment, Big Bird.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
All right. I have one more question. Well, I'm a little scared to get the shot because I don't like needles. Will it hurt?
Buck. They also had Elmo. Now, what's crazy about this is so many people out there criticize people who listen to this show, and they're like, how would you trust Clay Travis and Buck Sexton to share COVID opinions with you? They're not doctors. Yet CNN has got all of this propaganda that they are bringing to bear on the idea of 5 to 11-year-olds getting the vaccine. And as we pointed out, the city of San Francisco is requiring 5-year-olds to be vaccinated and have their vaccine passports in order to go inside and get some chicken McNuggets. And I mean, this is crazy.
It's completely insane. And if you really just look at the numbers, if you look at the data sets that we already have, let's just assume for a second. I would note that this is obviously an unscientific poll, but even among the followers of actress/activist/idiot Alyssa Milano, who I had the misfortune of interviewing some years ago, and she actually thought that it would get her far to have her PR people complain to my then boss, not on radio, but on TV, that I was too abrupt or something with her. I was like, she's absolutely horrible. But she did a poll, will you get your kids? And the numbers were overwhelming of her followers. She's a left-wing activist. People saying, no, I'm not going to get my kid vaccinated. Let's assume that we just look at the numbers for a second. We look at the numbers and we find out that it's very unlikely, let's say, that you're going to have some adverse reaction as a kid. It's a low risk. But look at how low the risk is of a child being hospitalized or dying from COVID. Which one is actually going to end up being more? When you're talking about a 1 in 1,000 mortality rate from the virus, what's the mortality rate going to be? Remember, we had that case confirmed in Oregon. Woman got the shot, you know, yes, had a heart issue, died. Okay. Now I understand it's very rare, but what's the confirmed number going to be, or what's the number going to end up being, of children that have a really severe adverse reaction to the shot versus those who have a really severe COVID infection? I mean, one in a million is like, you start to look at, this is considered safe in most contexts for drugs that people take and things they do. One in a million isn't something you worry about, Clay. So what happens when we line these two things up?
No doubt. And by the way, we've never actually said, hey, you need to get a flu vaccine or a flu shot for young kids. Never occurred. Yet right now, when you think about it, there is far more risk to kids, young kids, from the seasonal flu than there is from COVID. And so this idea that so many parents out there are just going to meekly acquiesce to this request is, to me, terrifying. And I hope there's enough parents out there to fight, because I believe that this vaccine mandate for children, as controversial as the federal vaccine mandate is for adults, the fact that we have got kids potentially here is going to be a battle the likes of which we've never really seen.
The next two phases of their incrementalism are going to be mandates for kids for schools. That's already in some states. They're going to push it in more places, depending obviously how the court battles all play out. And also, what about companies with less than 100 employees? Here's the Surgeon General.
Nothing is off the table at this moment, but the focus right now is on implementing the current rule that OSHA put out. And finally, let me just emphasize that these rules actually work. What we've seen in a report issued recently was that on average, businesses that put these requirements in place see a 20% increase in vaccination rates, often boosting them into the 90s. So if we realize, as we have over the past year, that vaccination is one of our key pathways out of this pandemic, these requirements will do a lot to get us to where the finish line.
I always start to flip out, Clay, when they say this thing of, yeah, if we're going to sue you and, or, you know, fine you into oblivion or cost you your job, more people will get the shot. Yes, this is true of all different forms of tyrannical policy. If you threaten people with things, some people will do it. They act like this is some revelation.
If you hold a gun in front of me and say, give me your wallet, I will give you my wallet. That's not because I want to give you my wallet or because it's a particularly good decision for us to be incentivizing.
Imagine if I interviewed your armed robber and he was like, yes, but my mandate for Clay to give me his wallet was so effective. That's not the point.
And also, it's not ending. And I think this is a big part of this story in general. Just over the weekend, the NBA, National Basketball Association, said that players who had been vaccinated had to get the booster. And if they didn't get the booster, Buck, they were going to be treated as if they were unvaccinated. So now, and this is not going to be unique to the NBA, this is going to be a lot of different employers out there, the standard for fully vaccinated is going to continue to move. Are you going to have to get a booster every 6 months for the rest of your life in order to be considered fully vaccinated from COVID? Is this really where we're headed? I think the answer, unfortunately, is yes. Aaron Rodgers stood up to it. Howard Stern was not happy about this. We're going to have some fun to start next hour.
I'm going to have to start showing up in my... I got to get an Aaron Rodgers jersey start showing up to do the show in my Aaron Rodgers jersey, because he's now, we got Kyrie Irving is my favorite NBA player.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers, my favorite NFL player. So I'm excited to get into this one, Clay, because they're so, I'm pretty sure there was an NFL player who just killed someone in a car accident.
Yeah, that happened.
Less coverage of that, outrage coverage of that, than what we see from Aaron Rodgers on his shot. We should talk about it.
For sure.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
If you're looking for stability and security in your investments, now is the time to look at gold and silver. Having real gold and silver delivered to your door is a lot easier than you might think. I've done it. I called Oxford Gold, placed my order over the phone, paid for it, and in a few days had my gold and silver delivered right to my front door. It's very easy, completely private and secure. Call Oxford Gold today at 833-404-GOLD. They'll answer all your questions and send you their free gold investment guide. Plus, if you ever want to sell your gold, Oxford will repurchase it at no cost to you. You don't even pay for shipping. Call Oxford today at 833-404-GOLD. They'll help you diversify your investments and put your gold in your IRA. Call Oxford Gold today at 833-404-GOLD. I bought my gold and silver from Oxford, and you can too. Give them a call today, 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.
Welcome to the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, everybody. Thank you for being here with us. We will be getting into the latest on some of the CRT battle that's out there. Does it even exist? CNN not convinced that it's happening in schools, despite all the evidence to the contrary. We'll get to that. Also more on the COVID situation, the vaccine mandates. But right now, as promised, we have Senator Ron Johnson with us from the great state of Wisconsin, where I was just spending some time myself. Senator Johnson, thanks for being with us.
Well, guys, hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we're good, sir. Thank you. Let's start with this. I know you've been asking DHS to actually release the numbers about how many illegal immigrants have been let into the United States, released into the United States this year. What can you tell us about where that process stands, what the numbers are as you expect them, and is it just getting worse essentially every month? I mean, is the lawlessness when it comes to illegal immigration only on the increase?
Well, we maybe had a slight downtick from over 6,700 apprehensions a day to, I think, a little over 6,500 apprehensions a day. But again, that compares to about 2,000 a day during the Obama's humanitarian crisis and about 4,000 per day during 2018-2019. We did get some information out of DHS. They've basically admitted they've dispersed about 500,000 people throughout America. Nobody knows where. You know, they're not really keeping track of these people. They turn them over to NGOs, non-government organizations, and they give them the bus tickets. They buy them the airfare. They're reimbursed by FEMA. And so about 500,000 people. Now, we also know there's, you know, hundreds of thousands of known gotaways. We don't know how many unknown gotaways. We have no idea where those people went. So in general, I've been using a figure extrapolated through the end of the year, probably about 1.2 million people will have entered illegally, dispersed to all points to America. And just put that in perspective, 9 states have populations less than 1.2 million. That's what Democrat governance gives you. That's what the Biden administration calls a closed border. This is a huge problem, obviously.
Senator Johnson, we've been talking a lot in addition to all the craziness going on at the border. Thank you for all the work you've been doing to try to spread sanity in an insane world as it pertains to COVID. And we appreciate you coming on with us. In your home state there of Wisconsin, Green Bay Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers came out and said, we don't have a pandemic of the unvaccinated. He thinks that it should be everybody's decision as to whether or not they should get the COVID vaccine, that mandates are wrong. We praised him on this show. Not surprisingly, he's come under attack from the left as someone who represents his state of Wisconsin, where the Green Bay Packers play. What was your reaction to Rodgers' statement and the reaction to Rodgers' statements?
Well, I completely support what Aaron Rodgers has done. He is, and I appreciate his courage in defending his own personal health autonomy, defending his freedom. You know, it's not surprising, but still shocking at all the attacks he's having to endure now because of him just standing up for his own personal choice. I mean, whatever happened to my body, my choice? I guess that only applies to abortion, apparently. But no, I completely support him. These mandates are pointless. I held an event last week in Washington, D.C., where we had the vaccine injured. And by the way, vaccine injuries are real. They're only rare and mild if they don't happen to you. If they happen to you, they can be quite severe and serious, and we showed that. Plus, we also had experts. One of the experts had a very simple decision tree, had two boxes. One box said, are the COVID-19 vaccines effective? And if you follow the yes line down, it went to the second box and said, well, then the vaccine mandates are pointless. Right? If they're effective, what do you care whether somebody next to you is vaccinated or unvaccinated? Unfortunately, guys, we're following the no line now because these vaccines, unfortunately, are not as effective and safe as we all hope. But it goes to the exact same decision line, then the mandates are pointless. I mean, if you can get infected, if you can spread COVID, if you can get seriously ill and die from COVID, what's the point in mandating them? And I think that's the exact same point that Aaron Rodgers was making. It's insane to force this on anybody, and guys, it's really insane to force this on children. 5 to 11-year-olds, they have virtually no risk of serious complications from COVID unless they have other comorbidities. They do run a risk of myocarditis. There is no medical necessity for children, and yet our CDC, FDA, the COVID gods, as I call them, President Biden, they're pushing these vaccines on children. I mean, that's a travesty.
We're speaking to Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Senator, to what you're just talking about here with the pushing of vaccines on kids, are you concerned that in your home state of Wisconsin, there may be some effort to put school mandates in place? We've already seen that in California. And also, if you could give us your thoughts on the Fifth Circuit coming out, putting a stay while they review further the national vaccine mandate. What do you think about all that?
Well, obviously, I'm concerned. Every time you get some sort of approval, and again, except for the Comirnaty, we still only have vaccines that are under the emergency use authorization. And guys, anybody that tells you that they know the long-term safety profile of these vaccines is just bald-faced lying to you. Nobody knows. And that's, of course, the problem. And so one of my doctor's group commented on the Pfizer application for 5 to 11-year-olds. He said that they proved that their vaccine takes the mortality risk in 5 to 11 years down to virtually zero, which, again, just shows the absurdity of what they're trying to do. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why would you be pushing an experimental vaccine? We don't know what effect this is going to have on long-term reproductive health. I mean, there are so many concerns that I've been hearing from my doctor's group about the spike protein being a toxin to the body, creating, you know, coagulation and blood clots, and, you know, the lipid nanoparticles settling in, for example, the ovaries or other types of organs. We do not know the long-term impact of these things. So that would, you know, that would say that you should exercise some caution here. But the COVID guys, President Biden, are throwing caution to the wind. And yes, I am absolutely concerned about mandating this to children. I am concerned about the loss of freedom. You know, too many Americans have willingly given up freedom for a very false sense of security. That's got to end.
We're talking to Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin. Senator, last time you were on with us, you were talking about looking at the data, and I applaud you, and we try to do that on this show as well. Talk about data as it pertains to COVID. And you were discussing the numbers that are coming out of Europe. We are seeing a massive increase in the number of COVID infections in Europe, despite a high rate of vaccinations. As you mentioned, many of these vaccines appear, based on the data, to be failing. Where are we headed in the winter? And at what point do you think the Biden administration might say, hey, we've gone too far? Just now, in the last hour, the spokesperson refused to take travel restrictions inside of the United States off the table if people are not getting the vaccine. Where does this end? How do we fight back?
So unfortunately, our CDC, FDA, they're not being honest and transparent with Americans, so we have to look to Europe. So here's the facts from UK, for example, that is publishing data. Last 7.5 months in Europe, the deaths from the Delta variant, which is about 80% of the COVID cases, 63% of those deaths are with fully vaccinated. Over the last 4 weeks, 78% of deaths in the UK are from the Delta variant and with the fully vaccinated. So those are just the facts. In America, we get updated Bayer's data every Friday. This Friday, we now surpassed 18,000 deaths, worldwide deaths, reported on the Bayer system, over 850,000 adverse events. And guys, what we need is early treatment. We've always needed that. We should have pushed this. And there are drugs, multi-drug protocols that are working. That's what Aaron Rodgers is availing himself of. Ivermectin. This is a drug that's, was termed a wonder drug by who? A Nobel Prize winner. The same Bayer system. This is actually a Bayer system, the FDA adverse event reporting system. Over almost 26 years of data, on average, ivermectin has 15 deaths a year. 1-5. Hydroxychloroquine, 64 deaths per year. The normal flu vaccine averaging 78 deaths per year in the Bayer system. We're up to over 18,000 on the COVID vaccine, and the CDC and President Biden, they're just going, nothing to see here. Adverse events are rare and mild. 5,600, by the way, of those deaths have occurred on day 0, 1, or 2. Now, I know the Bayer system doesn't prove causation, but that number right there concerns me a lot, and it should concern the Walensky's and the Fauci's and the Janet Woodcocks of the world, of the President Biden's of the world, but it's not. And you have to ask yourself, why? Why aren't they concerned about their own safety surveillance systems? Why,
Senator Johnson, can I ask you to answer? You've raised that question of why. Why do you think they're pushing these things despite all the data you've just shared with us? Why do you think they refuse to listen to reason?
The only conclusion I can draw is social control. Look what they're doing in California, New York. Now you need a vaccine passport to get into restaurants. I mean, just think ahead. How else can they control your life? I mean, I suppose you can live without going to a restaurant. I mean, can you live if you can't go into a grocery store? I mean, what else are they going to do? And by the way, fully vaccinated now is going to keep changing. Now it's going to have to be the next booster and the fourth booster and the fifth booster. There are serious scientists that are concerned about an accumulation of the spike protein, which is toxic to the body, not being able to be flushed from your system if you're getting all these boosters time after time after time. Again, caution is in order here, but they're throwing caution in the wind.
Senator Johnson from Wisconsin, last question for you, Senator. Obviously, we've talked a lot about the border and with COVID with you. It appears the Senate is now going to be the last stand for what's going to happen as it pertains to this Bernie Sanders Biden budget. What do you expect Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to do now that the House has passed or will pass soon their version of the budget? And what's the time frame, so long as you have been told, in terms of a resolution there?
Well, I hope they dig their heels in. I mean, they've drawn some pretty good red lines that I would, I appreciate the fact they've drawn them. My concern is that Democrats will, they'll just use budget gimmickry. They already did that when the score's at $3.5 trillion. They don't acknowledge that these entitlements will never end, so they score them for just a couple of years, and then they'll keep playing that budget gimmickry. They may kick out a few things, but I hope Democrat roadblocks or gridlock, Democrat gridlock. I hope that prevails. Pray for it. I'm afraid it won't.
Senator Johnson, appreciate you being with us. Thanks so much.
Take care. Stay well.
Too many Americans suffer from chronic pain as a result of aging. Exercise can also be the source of pain, or overexertion, or just the effects of everyday living. But there is a solution. It's called Relief Factor. Created by doctors and perfected over 15 years of scientific research, Relief Factor was made for you. With four key ingredients, Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free product which addresses joint pain, knee, hip, back, neck, and shoulder pain. Hundreds of thousands of people have ordered Relief Factor, and about 70% of them go on to order more. If you're currently in pain, you've got a 7 in 10 chance to eliminate it with Relief Factor, right? So those are pretty good odds. What do you have to lose? Yvonne from California tried Relief Factor with great results. She and her husband tried so many other possible solutions before they found Relief Factor. Now they can claim freedom from pain. Thanks, Clay, to Relief Factor.
No doubt. And you can join the more than 500,000 people and order the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to get the $19.95 3-week quick start developed just for you. ReliefFactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF. Relief Factor. Feel the difference.
EIB VIP at ClayandBuck.com. VIPs can email Clay and Buck through the exclusive VIP email address. Plus, watch exclusive videos for members only, access to the stack of stuff, commercial-free podcasts, and much more. Become an EIB 24/7 VIP today at ClayandBuck.com.
Welcome back to Clay Travis Buck Sexton Show, everybody. Wow, can't believe it's already second half of the third hour flying by here. Please follow Clay on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, Buck Sexton and Clay Travis. We have our own accounts. We're sharing things, commenting all the time. And make sure you subscribe to the Buck Sexton, the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. Also, there's a Buck Sexton podcast in the mornings you can try out just in the early mornings. 30 minutes long. It's quick. So we have some updates here on critical race theory. Clay, it turns out, this is fascinating. All the stuff, all the parents who think that they've heard critical race theory being taught to their kids on Zoom instruction.
Yes.
Or all the people that think you can go online and read about this stuff and believe the Department of Education website in the state of Virginia when they say that they're trying to infuse the curriculum with critical race theory, at least principles, if not official lesson planning. They're all confused, according to CNN. It's such a shock, folks. See, it's not that the left has been caught and parents are rising up against it. It's that we all just don't know what we're talking about. That's what they want you to believe. Here is a perfect example of a little propagandist mouthpiece over at CNN. They all do whatever, you know, Zucker wants them to over there. It's a left-wing propaganda outfit. Here is CNN, though, and Senator Scott of Florida, in fact, talking about critical race theory. You need to hear this exchange.
I think what Democrats are going to continue to do is talk about Donald Trump. I think Republicans are going to continue to talk about issues. Glenn Youngkin won his race because he talked about issues. And I think that's what's going to happen. What we're going to see is, just like in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe wanted to say, oh, there was nothing about critical race theory. We know it's true. Parents know their kids are being indoctrinated with critical race theory in Virginia, and the Democrats wanted to deny it.
It's not in the curriculum.
Showed up because they don't like being lied to.
Just to be clear, it's not in the curriculum in Virginia.
Let me just read you a few things. In 2015, while Terry McAuliffe was governor, the Virginia Department of Education promoted incorporating a critical race theory lens in education. You can still find it on the Department of Education's website, still there. In February 2019, a superintendent memo for the Virginia Department of Education promoted critical race theory and the idea of white fragility.
I looked at it yesterday.
So, I mean, Clay, can I just... This is the talking point they fall back on. It's actually embarrassing at this point because the parents who are upset hear and see and know what they're upset about when it comes to their children's instruction. But instead of engaging on this, the journos out there, the media apparatus of the Democrat Party, is still clinging to either it's so complicated you can't understand it, it's not actually even happening, which is what we just heard, or if you don't like it, you're racist. Those are the only options.
Isn't it amazing how many people in our industry are just absolute imbeciles?
Yes.
I mean, he is directly contradicting her live on the air, which is hard to do on a television interview. To his credit, Senator Scott, it appears that he was well prepped. His staff probably said, hey, she's going to say this is not a real thing. Here are several examples that you can directly cite on air. Because you know this, Buck. You do a lot of television, too. It's hard to have time to look down at documents and contradict somebody live on television. It's set up, television is, to be primarily an opinion-based medium when it comes to interviews. You share your opinion, I'll share mine. She's saying that his argument is not rooted in fact because there's no legitimate critical race theory being taught in Virginia. And he was on the ball enough to have the information directly in front of him to specifically cite why she's wrong. But what's going on here, Buck, is part of a larger issue, and certainly CNN and MSNBC and a lot of places out there in the sort of left-wing resistance media, they bought into things that are not true, and a lot of the people who bought into the things that are not true are not smart enough to do their own research, and so they just trumpet whatever the talking points are. And this is why I've said, Buck, that Rachel Maddow disappoints me on the whole Russia collusion thing. She's so smart. that she should be intelligent enough not to make this mistake. A lot of other people just aren't that smart in media, and so they take whatever people tell them and just run with it as talking
points. Well, Maddow laughed all the way to the bank about Russia collusion and also got
She lied for years about Russia collusion.
For years, she was the primary host at MSNBC. She was the only one during the Trump era who had ratings that would sometimes in primetime even eclipse some of the Fox primetime hosts. The only show. And it was, you know, this crazy Kremlinology nonsense night in, night out, all of which was crap. I mean, if you were watching the Rachel Maddow show during the Trump years, you were getting a steady diet of lies.
Mueller was going to be their savior. He was going to lead Donald Trump being taken out of the Oval Office. This is what they believed, in handcuffs, because of his collusion with the Russia government.
People were told this. And it's amazing to watch now as the actual prosecutions begin of those who fabricated the Russia collusion lie. Not a single person in a privileged perch in the media has come out to say, wow, I am so embarrassed. I cannot believe what my show said. I need to make this right. I need to tell my audience the truth. We need to have some accountability in this. They used a lie to oppose Donald Trump, not just in rhetorical terms, to weaponize the federal government against him as part of the Russia collusion hoax. Trump was, when he called it a witch hunt, he was spot on. It was 100% true. And there's no accountability whatsoever. I mean, you have people who think that their brand is supposed to be truthful journalism, people like Fake Tapper over at CNN. He should be begging the forgiveness of his audience, but he doesn't, because he was in on it. Because all that mattered was that it was anti-Trump, Clay. We know it. It didn't matter that it was all a lie.
Not only are there no consequences, the exact opposite, Buck. All of these people have been given more. Rachel Maddow just signed a $30 million a year contract, and she's not even going to have to host her show anymore come the spring or summer of 2022. They are paying her at MSNBC a unbelievable salary that directly rewarded her for peddling 100% untruths. And she doesn't have any obligation. Buck, you and I mean, people can agree or disagree with a lot of what we say, but if we get a fact wrong on this show, we come on and we say, hey, sorry, we didn't mean to get that wrong. We try to vet everything to make sure. Now, opinions are different. Everybody can have a variety of different opinions. But in terms of factual bases upon which we base our opinions, if we get something wrong on a fact, we'll come back and say, hey, we got that wrong. Turns out that wasn't true. Because we want to be as honest with you as possible, even though we don't consider ourselves to be Big J journalists. We are, with this show, fortunate enough to talk to a large audience every day, and we don't want to spread things that aren't true, which is what MSNBC and CNN and the Washington Post and the New York Times did. And by the way, Buck, rewarded themselves with Pulitzers, big new contracts, all of it predicated on lies surrounding Donald Trump.
It's stunning to see how little self-reflection there is among the corporate media at this point that went along with the Russia collusion nonsense, because it's not as though there were some aspects of the entire thing was a fabrication of the Hillary Clinton paid for DNC sponsored dossier. A bunch of people wrote up rumors and then pretended that the rumors had some gravitas so they could run it to the FBI and the corporate media, who were basically playing ping pong with the lie. This is what they did. This was the primary news story for Democrats in America, and for the first 3 years of Trump's presidency, without question, for three solid years until COVID came along, the biggest news story in America, and in some ways, therefore, the world, was a giant lie. And these same individuals and organizations, New York Times, CNN, Washington Post, etc., they now want to lecture all of the rest of us about COVID, about election laws, about everything, about, you know, Kyle Rittenhouse self-defense. They act like we're supposed to take them seriously, when no person who got the Russia collusion story wrong should ever be taken seriously again until they come forward and say, I was part of a massive fraud. I'm embarrassed and sorry, and I will do better. I have not seen a single person, not one, in the media say that.
And they won't, because they're liars and because they got rewarded for their lies. Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and his team fit us for our own pillows and introduced us to their ever-growing list of incredible products. You can trust Mike Lindell to get you a great night's sleep and got to tell you, these pillows are amazing. And yes, the pillows are what started it all. You can get a standard MyPillow right now for $19.98, originally nearly $70. That's a $50 savings with the promo code Clay and Buck. King Pillow, just 10 bucks more, and money back guarantee until March of next year. You have nothing to lose. Buck, how do they get hooked up?
And it's so easy, folks. Go check it out now. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the Radio Listener Specials and enter promo code Clay and Buck, or call 800-792-3269 for these great radio specials. You'll find not only this amazing offer, but rotating discounts on 150-plus MyPillow products, from the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, My Slippers, and more. Again, MyPillow.com is the website. Click on the Radio Listener Specials and enter promo code Clay and Buck when you're at checkout, or just call this number, 800-792-3269. That's 800-792-3269.